I want to begin with this. This is just something I was thinking as I was sitting down here. And I think the whole pastor appreciation thing made me think this. Wow, I get to stand up here and try to motivate you guys. And give you a pep talk here. And I remember when I was playing football the very first year at Bethel when I was there. And we had a coach, and I don't know his name. I really wish I knew this guy's name, could figure out who he was. But he was a linebacker's coach. And the head coach gave him the job to give the pregame speech to the team. And I remember a little bit of this pregame speech. And I remember being, even though I was just a sophomore and I wasn't going to even play that game, but I remember being ready to just run through a brick wall after this speech, you know. And I wanted to get out there and I wanted to make it happen. And I remember, the one thing I do remember about his speech was he talked about this guy that came every game. He came and he was in a wheelchair. And he's a young guy. He's a really young guy. He's probably a teen or something, like, you know, about the time. I can't remember exactly, but maybe early 20s or something. But he's a young guy. And he said how much he wished he could be out there in the football field playing. And how we get to do that. And we get to live out that dream and go out and do that. And that's the main thing I remember about what I'm saying. But just that idea that we can go out there and we could play, we could do it, and we could try to win, and we could compete in that way. And I guess if I tie that into the whole church thing is where we are, we get to be Christians. We get to go out and serve the Lord. We get to be a church family. We get to pour our hearts into things, and we get to live for Him, and we get to really try to make a difference. And so I hope that today, spiritually speaking, I want this to be spiritual, that you would be really ready to run through a brick wall spiritually today. Because God speaks to you so loud and clear here today. That would be my hope and prayer. And so let's just take a moment and pray, and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this place with these people. The place and the people are all set aside for you and your purpose. It's a matter of holiness and consecration, Lord, to you. And I pray that you would use this next 40 minutes or so to really just speak into our lives and help us. I pray for the kids next door, that the same thing's happening there, that you'd equip all the children's church leaders and nursery workers, and that today we all would have an encounter with your word and with you and with your spirit as we're going through things in your word today, Lord. And as there are heavy issues in life and challenges and difficulties and all kinds of things going on in each and every life that's here, I pray, Lord, that we can bring them before you. We can give them to you in prayer. We can trust you with them. Look to you for strength and help and guidance. And then, Lord, I ask this special prayer request that you would allow us to take our eyes off ourselves, Lord, and just to put them on you and just to see you clearly today. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so today we're going to go through the entire chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Now, I could either have, I thought, broke this up into three sermons, or I could do it all at one time. And I know you guys love long sermons, so I thought, you know, let's do it all at one time, you know, and apologize later if this goes late. You know? But no, really, I don't think it's going to be super long. I think it'll be normal. I kind of have a clock. I have a built-in clock. I talk for about 40 minutes. I've used all my words, and I don't even want to talk the rest of the day. But I muster it up, you know. So when you see me at the cider pressing thing, you know, no, I've probably used all my words already. I'm probably more quiet than I look when I'm up here, you know. But I get it. I muster up the energy to do it, and God helps me with it. So I think we can think about this. I can think of it a couple ways, but one is as a hockey game. This is going to be like a hockey game today. Not so much like a football game, but more like a hockey game. Now, how many of you know anything about hockey? Raise your hand if you know a little few things about hockey. You know we're going to have a pro team here, so we got to get up on hockey a little bit so we understand what's going on. I always thought it was great that they had fighting in hockey. It was part of the sport, you know. And my good friend that I work out with almost every day, he's a former professional hockey player, and his role was being a tough guy and fighting. And so he went out and did that, you know. And he's really super, super nice guy. So I have a lot of fun, and we crack a lot of jokes about it. And we both have, I think my nose is more messed up than his, you know, as I look at it now. But hockey, I say hockey today because there's really going to be three periods. And I don't ever understand why there's three periods in a hockey game. Is it because you can't go four periods? I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. You know, why not four quarters in a hockey game? No, it's three periods and it stops. Have any of you ever wondered that before, or is it just me?
Yeah.
Like three. Why three? But this is like a hockey game because there's three distinct parts to this. We divide this up in three parts. Another way I've thought about this is like running laps. Running laps around a track. We're going to do three laps around the track. Now, of course, usually a big track, it's four laps is a mile. So we're going to run three quarters of a mile here today. You up for running three quarters of a mile? All right, that's what it's going to look like today. So did we get a no? Did some say no? A couple no's. How about this? We're going to run three quarters of a mile spiritually.
Okay.
We're not actually going to run. Now, some of you may run. You may go out and run. We're going to run spiritually. Now, in the title of my Bible, it says, A Father's Wise Instruction. And you can see my title was A Father's Instruction, and I could have had wise in there. But the idea here, which has been consistent with what we've been seeing, is the father speaking to his son and giving advice. And giving him not just advice, but giving wisdom. Giving the very thoughts of God. Helping his son to see things how he ought to see them. To process what's going on and have the right thoughts and attitudes about things and have the right action. Remember, it might not be quite enough to say to see things how God wants us to see them, but we also have to live them out. Amen. So if you have wisdom in your life, that's what we're talking about here is wisdom. There's almost a skill to living life in a way that's based on God's word and his will and what he values and what he's for and what he's against. And you make decisions with wisdom and the skill of living this life for the Lord. Because, you know, we all could live this life in many different ways. You know, you drop different people into different circumstances and people respond differently. Amen? Part of that is because we're different. And we're unique. God makes us different and unique. And another part is that it's wisdom. Some people may possess some wisdom there. In that case, it's given by God that helps them to see things the way that they ought to. So if you look at the very first words here, it says, Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. First sentence of this. But the first words are, Hear, O son. Now, if we look back in what we've seen so far in Proverbs, we'll see that I think this is about at least the fifth time, maybe more, that we have that phrase. So just kind of turn with your Bible and look just to the left just a little bit and look at Proverbs 1:8. It says, Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. So, it's not just that all the wisdom comes from the father. That's kind of the form that it's in. But the idea, it's very like a parental wisdom. Parents teaching their children. And there's numerous other times between there and here. We're just on chapter 4, so you'll see it again and again. One thing that we should take from this and look at is what he's talking about. When he talks about his father, and he'll talk about his mother and things here. This is Solomon that's writing. We know who he's talking about. He's talking about David and Bathsheba. And we know and we remember that David and Bathsheba originally should not have been together, and that David and Bathsheba sinned, and that because of that sin, it actually resulted in the death of their child that they had. And Solomon is the child that comes after that. And so when he talks about his father giving him instruction, I think in some sense, you know, we can look at it kind of figuratively, but we can also look at it really like literally for what it is, that David, his father, taught him and taught him about the Lord. And was David a wise man? As far as men go, yeah. He didn't always do the right thing, and he made a terrible, he stumbled in a terrible way, but the Bible says that he had a heart after God's own heart. And one of the things that David did was he had all these opportunities. He knew he was going to be king. He had opportunities to take hold of being the king, and he left it up to God that it'd be on the Lord's timing that God would make him king when God wanted him to be king. And so in this, it says, "Hear, O sons, the father's instructions, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching." You can, in some ways, picture, you know, David really saying this. And a big part of these, and we're going to see this kind of in most of the phases of this, in most Proverbs, the very first thing is to say, hey, listen. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. Hold on to this. Don't forsake this. You know, think about it. That's got to be a big part of what we do in church, is like just kind of trying to remind ourselves, remind each other to hold strong in the faith, to hold on, to keep walking, to keep moving in the right direction. And to really listen to what's being said and really know that every word in the Bible really matters. Amen. And to really look at it that way and know that this is what needs to guide and direct my life. Not the world's wisdom and the world's way of thinking, but it's the Word of God. And so he says, son, pay attention to this. Don't let it go. You know, it's good precepts. A precept is like a truth or a teaching, a general rule that applies to living, that you live your life through. And so a lot of times when the Word of God is talked about, I think you see it in Psalm 119, which is all about the Word of God. One of the words that's used to describe the Word of God is precepts. You know, it's God's teaching. They can build one on top of another to give us wisdom in our lives, to guide and direct us as we live. So we got to be attentive. We got to pay attention. We got to hold on to it. And we got to know that it's good and not forsake it. He says, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, so David and Bathsheba, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast to my words. Keep my commandments and live. And I think this is really great to pause and think about this. And you picture David saying, hey, son, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Pay attention. Focus on this. Hold on to these things. Don't let them go. Hold on to what I'm telling you. Now, I think about that as a dad. And as a pastor, and as, you know, whatever, man, you know, just different opportunities. But can I have that same kind of confidence and say, listen to what I'm saying to you? What I'm saying really matters. There's significance to this. And how can I be like that as a pastor? How can I say that the things that I get up here and say are worth listening to? They're not just things that should go in one ear and out the other, but they should really be listened to. And you don't ever know, like Gary, you're sharing. I said something. I don't know when I'm going to say something that's going to speak more powerfully to you or something. But I do know that in general, we think about ourselves as people, that you and I, we have no authority in and of ourselves. We really don't have any wisdom in and of ourselves without God. And so if David was speaking to his son Solomon God's words and what God wanted him to say, and he was being a messenger for the Lord, then he can have complete confidence that what he's saying, his son really needs to listen to. Like I can say to my son that, hey, you know, hey, going in computer science was a good thing for me and it worked really well. And that might be something that you could consider too, you know. But that might be a good thing for him or it might not be a good thing for him. But if I tell him, you know, whether he understands it or not, that, hey, son, you need to walk with Jesus. You need to stay on the straight and narrow path with him. You need to keep your eyes fixed on Him. You need to not live this life for yourself, but you need to live it for Jesus and His glory. And someday, son, if it's the Lord's will, you're going to be an old man like your dad. You know, because to him, I'm an old man. You know, to the boys, I'm an old man. You know, as you think about it, you know. But someday, no matter what, whether we live to be old or not, that we're going to stand before a holy God. And we're going to give an account for our life, whether we lived it for Him or not. Now, that's not going to be the deciding factor of whether we're saved and we're going to heaven or not, but we're still going to give account for our life and what we did with it and how we lived. And so I think, you know, to try to say that when, if we can say things that matter, when we speak the words of God, when we speak from the Bible, when we teach from the Bible, we can have a complete confidence that the things we're saying, whether they're received or not, are worth listening to and worth living out. Amen? Amen? So just know that, you know, if you're a parent and you talk to your kids and you take it seriously, because the Bible did tell you this, that it is your job as a parent to raise your kids up in the Word of God. You can't control what they do with that, but what is in your power is whether the words and the actions that are coming out of yourself are biblical. Amen? Amen. And then to do that, you're going to have to set your heart on being a student of the Word of God, a lifelong student. None of us have got it all figured out. Hey, Carl, you were up here on stage last week. You remember that? Did you have fun up here, by the way? You kind of quietly sit in there. Do you have it all figured out, Carl?
No.
You've had some memorable sermons here, though. You have. Don't have it all figured out. I'm putting them on the spot here too. But none of us do, right? None of us have it all figured out. Do the elders have it figured out? No, we don't. So just know, if you want your speech to matter, if you want to say things that you can really say with that confidence, that, you know what, this is what people need to listen to, this is what my kids need to know, then you speak the Word of God. And that'd be the truth for anyone who's ever given a sermon or a message or teaching something. You know, our opinions don't really matter that much, but what God's Word says is what matters. Amen. So we're still kind of just beginning to jog here. We're beginning to jog in this three laps that we're on, okay? He says, get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. So you gotta get this. And now listen to what he says here, because this goes together. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. And here, and that's really the whole lap. But what's being said here is, very first thing is you've got to value wisdom. You've got to see it for what it is. You've got to really want to get it, get hold of it, and live it out. Now, Dennis, I can do this, but I think I'm going to roll back here just a second. I don't know if this is on, because I missed a few parts to this as I go. But this is the first thing, is I'm going to call this first lap, get wisdom. So you're running lap number one. Okay, you're going around. And the theme of this lap, those first verses we looked at, is that we need to live a life where it is really not about acquiring material and those kind of things, but it's acquiring wisdom, a new way to look at things, a new way to live. God's wisdom in our life. And I think about, we may struggle with different in the different areas. There might be ways that God needs to change us. And I think, as I think about having overcome some things in my life, and I see people that need to overcome things, and people come seek counsel for me on issues and things, is that the only way I could think about is that to overcome something that's difficult in your life is you just have to have a lot of God's goodness continually poured into your life. And you need to grow in wisdom, and you need to not, it's not a matter of focusing on not doing this or changing yourself, but it's so much a matter of, as we think about this, I want to see it how God wants me to see it. I want to go after that in my life. I want to make my life a life about gaining wisdom from God and seeking Him out and seeking His face. And so when we think about it, we picture ourselves running that lap. And I don't know if you have run, but you have an opportunity to think when you're running, but the thought process is a little different because you're running out of breath as you're going. You know, that's, if I swim, that's all I am. Just start swimming and just instantly ready to sink, you know, out of breath. I could run a little better than I could swim, but your mind is thinking, and I'm just kind of picturing us running and thinking. And the thing I think we need to think from these verses is We got to get wisdom in our lives. We need it so badly. And that's what's going to really change us and help us to grow. Now, a little bit further, I had some verses here. It says the beginning of wisdom. In this passage, it says the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. So the idea is, you know, you're not going to get wisdom unless you want wisdom, unless you value it. Nobody can want it for you. Amen. Nobody here can want it enough for you. Nobody can seek God for you. You have to be the one that seeks God in your life. We can't do it for our kids. Our kids have to do it on their own. So it said, that's the beginning of wisdom. Now these verses, if you write these down and you want to look at them later, they all say something along the lines of, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And I don't think that these are two different things. I think it's really one and the same, is to value it, but also you have to start. If you want wisdom, if you want to get wisdom, you need to understand that that's from God. It doesn't come from anyone else. And to honor Him and have reverence for Him and respect Him and to fear Him and to know that He's in control over your life, that is something that you have to know and understand to get hold of wisdom. And that's why those two fit well together. And it says that that's the beginning of wisdom. All right, so that was lap number one, getting wisdom. Okay, does anybody need to stretch? Sometimes you start running, you're like, you get a little pain in like one area. You're like, okay, got to stretch this for a little bit. Okay. All right, let's go on to lap number two then here. All right, we need to avoid temptation. Lap number two, avoid temptation, avoid the tempter or tempters, things and people that come into our lives to take us off track from walking with the Lord. All right, it says, hear my son and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. And remember, we've been emphasizing this in Proverbs, that these are general promises, not like a specific thing, like everyone who dies young, it was because they didn't honor God. No, that's not how it works. But in general, for us to honor God and honor our parents and these kind of things and listen to their words, that it, in general, it goes well with us in our lives and gives us long years and gives us happier lives and those kind of things. And so he's saying this, son, you know, accept what I'm saying. Listen to me. It's going to go well with you. It's going to give you a better life, a longer life, as you listen to this. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. So he, again, you can picture David talking to Solomon here. He's talking about to live a wise life, an upright life. Okay, one where you don't have to hide in shame and run away, but it's like you're living a right life before God. It's a righteous life to live. It's not of your own, but it's through faith. He says, when you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. And now the picture that he's given, and it comes into running as we think about it, running the lap, but initially it starts with walking. And we know that in the Bible, the Christian life is compared to a walk. And the idea and the question is, are you walking with God? How's your walk? How can you grow in your walk? How can your walk improve? And maybe those aren't questions you have to answer to somebody else, but they're things to think for yourself. You know, am I really walking with Jesus? And how can I be walking with Jesus if I'm not? But if you pay attention to the words of wisdom and the Word of God and His teaching and directing, and if that's coming through a parent or another person or a teacher or somebody, then it helps your life and your walk not to be hampered or slowed down or tripped up, you know, in that way. And then he talks about running. If you run, you will not stumble. So I learned something I didn't know. Have you ever watched the hurdles? Do you know that you can run through those hurdles? That is an option. Runners to your mark, set, go. Bam, bam, bam. You can run through all of them. Nobody does that. Why don't they do that? I would think that would be more effective for some people. I think it would probably be more effective for me. What do you think, Devin? You think that might be more effective for you? I don't know if I could get it over the... You haven't seen how hard it is for me to lift my foot up much higher than that. You know? Getting old. You know? So, you can run through the hurdles, but that's not really a winning strategy. And nobody really tries to go about it that way. Sometimes you might run through one, or you might hit one or something like that. But the thing is, we go to run There can be obstacles, there can be things in our way, things that trip us up in this life, and wisdom helps us not to be tripped up, helps us to get over the hurdles and not through them. And that's what God wants for us, and that's what David wanted for Solomon. He says, keep hold of instruction, do not let go, guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not talk in the way of evil. Let me go back to the last verse. But the idea that wisdom so often is compared to a woman here. It's personified. And it, when wisdom is talked about as a woman here, it says, you know, you gotta just value her, hold on tight to her, and she is gonna do great things for you. She is really gonna guard you and protect you and keep you safe and keep you from stumbling and keep you from hurting yourself and keep you from hurting others. And she's going to be your very life and give you life. And so those are all good things. These are some of the benefits of wisdom in our life. Now, this is where the tempter or the temptation comes in. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. We cannot get away from the fact that in this life, there are going to be people that come along that are not living their life through wisdom, that are not living their life in a godly way, and they're going to try to entice us to come on board with them and to walk the way that they walk and to live the way that they live. And what wisdom is calling out to us and telling us is we ought to know that that's coming and that that'll be there, but we need to not go down that way. Because if we go down that route, it actually is kind of the converse of all the good things that have been said about having wisdom in your life are true also. That in general, it really doesn't go well for you. It doesn't go well for your life, the quality of your life. It doesn't go well for the length of your life, all those things. So do not walk in the way of the evil. Now, remember, evil is, it's not just that we look at a person and we say, okay, man, that's a bad dude right there. And he does a lot of like mean things and really hurts people. But what we see in evil, we got to know that's the absence of God. So it'd be living life with the absence of God, without God's wisdom, without accountability to Him. And I think that we know, probably we can see this more now than ever, and if you're in school and different places like that today, that you know that there are very, very different ways to think about things than the way that we think about things as a church, and that the Bible thinks about things or shows things, right? Amen? There's like a completely new right and wrong that's out there today. And we have the challenge as Christians of living through that and showing love, but at the same time standing firmly on the Word of God and not compromising. Never calling things right that are not right or true by what God says, because we don't have that authority. Amen? Amen? And so we're really familiar with that these days. But so I just want to remember, we need to not go down that path. And it's really hard right now because most of us like to be liked. And we don't like to be called names, and we don't like to be treated differently. And so there's a huge temptation to get off path just by that way. In just that way. Until you get older. You get older, you don't care what people think about you, right? Amen? I mean, the older you get, I'm telling you, this is true, and I see this, and I observe this on some of you guys on Facebook and things like that. You know, it's like, the older you get, the less you care what people think about what your views are and issues and things like that. You know, so you still have to be wise, though. You still have to put thought into what you're doing, how you represent things, how people understand stuff. Okay, but we need to not get off path. Okay, we need to keep straight, keep walking with the Lord. Don't go the way of evil. Don't fall to temptation. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on it. Pass on. Sometimes, and I think we see this in the Scripture, we need to run away from it. We need to flee from sexual immorality, it says in the Bible, and I think that's a good model of other sins. We need to know, hey, I'm not strong enough to stand here in this and absorb this. I need to run. I need to run fast in the other direction and move on. It says, for they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. This would be the wicked, this would be the evil. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. And I guess here in some way, there is a pretty clear picture that the idea of what this person is maybe not to steal from you or to physically harm you, but to cause you to stumble in your walk, to pull you away from the Lord. To make you think that, hey, you can't follow what the Bible says. You can't believe that. If you believe that, that's against the law. You know, different things, you know, that we face today as we go through it. So I would say that in your workplace, in your school, all different places we go, that so much today is out there to try to influence you in a way that you will deny the Scripture, that you will deny God's Word, and that you will deny His wisdom. And so we have to be aware of that. It says, don't go down that way. You know, run away from it. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So the spoil of wickedness and what's there. And even though it might look good and it might look tempting in some ways, it's not. It is not. Remember when I talked about standing before a holy God? In light of standing before a holy God, all the treasure in the world is not worth it. To deny Him and to turn your back on Him. Nothing is worth it. None of the relationships. Hey, the cutest girl is not worth it. The best looking guy, not worth it. The best job. Okay. Sometimes, now it's really common now today, Christians can lose their job just by sharing what they believe, even outside of the workplace. Listen to a great talk by this guy. He was like the head of the Atlanta Fire Department. And because he wrote a Bible study outside of work that had to do with men and women and their relationships, and it's a marriage study, and it had traditional, historical Christian values that come out of the Bible in them, he was fired for that. But he won in court. He won in court when he went back. But he's no longer that, and he's actually working in ministry now, which is a cool thing. So you see God's plan through it. You know, God works through it. All right, but we don't want to eat that bread. We don't want to drink that drink. It says, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. So there's a contrast here. You know, as you compare the way of the wicked with the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous is like it's getting brighter and brighter. It's like dawn. There's just more and more hope. There's more and more promise. You know, you see when the sun comes up, you're seeing it. There's going to be a new day. It's here. The day's going to be a good day. You know, there's so much potential that's out in front of us. And that's what it's like when you walk in the way of the Lord. And there's a full day ahead, a full day of lightness that's there. How many of you love, like, first thing in the morning, you know, early in the morning when the sun comes up? Some of you are like, I love it in my bed when I'm sleeping. I've done it so much more. I used to play a lot of basketball in the morning, go to the gym, but I used to love when you come out of the house first thing in the morning and the birds are singing and they're just going crazy, chirp, 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 chirp. They're singing and it's just barely daylight. There's a certain smell to it, too. I don't know what it is, but I love that part of the morning. And I think there's so much hope in the day, you know, as you look forward to it. And so that's really honestly what it's like to walk with Jesus. You know, there's just a new day. There's so much hope, so much promise, you know, if we'll follow Him, if we'll keep focused and keep moving in that direction. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Darkness, blindness, tripping up. They don't even know. They don't even get it. We don't want to go that route. So last lap, part three, final lap is this. Stay true with your whole body. Stay true to God with your whole body. And the reason I share this is we look at these verses, so much of this has been talked about is being obedient. It's mentioned specifically different body parts to be obedient and to be obedient with. He says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So what's the first body part here? Ear. So really, incline your ear. Really listen. Be a good listener. Don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. But really incline yourself to listening to what God has to say. So we're going to do that. We're going to keep on track with our ears. He says, let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. I see two body parts mentioned here. We're going to keep sight of God. We're going to keep sight of His Word. We're going to keep sight of Jesus. And we're also going to do it with our hearts. Amen. So it's like heart is essential in all this. I mean, it has to really be there in us and who we are as far as loving Jesus and following Him and obeying what He says. We don't want to just do it because we're afraid. We don't want to do it just because people are watching. We don't want to do it because it somehow gives us a higher position. We want to do it because we love God. It's in our heart there. So keep your eyes and your heart on Him. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Again, there is great benefit to it that we see. He says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. So again, the body part is the heart here. But when we talk about that, we know the heart's not really just the physical. We're not really talking about physical, but this is who we are in our deepest self. Really the immaterial you. Why you do what you do. What really is your motive? What really motivates you? What are you really thinking about? What are you really concerned about? What makes you tick? Who you really are? I think we can also talk in terms of your soul here at this point. So God comes into our life and into our hearts and out of our hearts and out of who we are through His Holy Spirit gives life to us. But He's not looking for us to be half-hearted to Him. He's looking for us to be all in and to really love Him because He loved us first. And that's the springs of life, and the Holy Spirit gives us life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk from your mouth. And I think we're talking about integrity here in speech and in action, but it starts here in speech. You need to stop doing some things if you're doing things. You need to speak honestly and truthfully. Not let crookedness come out of your mouth. Don't be someone that plans devious things. Okay, if you want to live out God's wisdom and follow Him, then you're going to have to repent of some things and make some changes. And you're going to need to have God's integrity in your life here. Again, we're on the third lap. we're coming down the stretch here. But we need to put some things away. And we need to make sure that we speak the truth, and we speak the truth in love. It says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. So we need to not, when we're running this lap for the Lord, we need to not be looking all over the place. We need to be looking ahead. We need to be looking at Jesus. You know, again, we're thinking about our eyes here. We need to not let our eyes move to the side. Now, it kind of fits with what you were saying there, Gary. And I have to admit, like sometimes, I think what I was saying is when we were golfing and there's all these really beautiful houses around, and there's a part of me sometimes, I confess, I look at that and think, wow, that would really be nice to have something like that. I would really want it. And it's not that it's wrong to have it, and a lot of people have it, and that's fine. But what God directed me to do with my life is to change careers and become a pastor, but it was sticking to me. It was hitting me that hard in that moment. I think God was talking to me that, wow, you know what? That's a nice place. And in reality, I could have had that if I stuck with what I was doing. But what I'm doing is better. And that stuff does all fade away, and it's not of eternal value. But that's kind of like looking to the right and the left sometimes, and looking back and looking around. You know, if I had done this, if I had done that, or I could have that. I think in a material sense, that's one way. And another way I look at this, and I think I hope all you guys will be honest, and I think you all should relate to this, is that most of us have unfortunately trained ourselves, we had been trained when we were young men, to look around at the opposite sex and to see the opposite sex in a way that's not right or healthy. And so what this is saying is that, you know, we need to have our eyes in the right place, looking in the right place. Not looking around at everyone else and everything else out there. We look where our eyes should be. So we're focused on Jesus. We're focused on our wives. Amen? Amen? We don't turn our eyes to the right or the left. We don't have wandering eyes. And I can say this from a man's perspective, but I know it's true for women too. Not just men. That we need to have our eyes fixed in the direction that we need to be going. And if we're following Jesus and we have our eyes where they're supposed to be, then we're going to be safe and it's going to be good for us. But the minute we start looking around and wandering around and thinking, I wish I had that or that, or comparing or those kind of things, it really takes us off track. Amen? And next week, if you come next week, believe I'll be talking about this. There's going to be some stuff about adultery and those kind of things, and some very graphic things that are in there, because there are things that are true that we need to know and understand and watch out for that are out there. So if you want to see me a little embarrassed next week, or my wife a little embarrassed, I'm just telling you, just a preview for next week. I say that because I know that some of you have a little bit of a, you know, some of you are like, oh, I'm coming for that. So I'm just trying to get more people in here. Okay, but keep your eyes straight ahead, where they need to be. Let's remember that. Okay, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. So you got to think about your walk and where you're walking to keep on the path, to keep straight. Now, running a little bit late here, I'm going to wrap up here, but this did remind me of something. When I went to Mount Rainier with my boys, some of you maybe saw the video on Facebook Sam put up. We took it a tremendous hike up to Comet Falls and then Van Trump Park, and Mount Rainier was just there and it was just exploding. It was just this beautiful day. Really long walk, really long hike. And it was such a nice day that we actually went in the water up there. We went in the waterfall. We went down in like one of the lower falls. There was a place we sat down. There was a place where the boys rode it was basically like a water slide through the rocks, because the rocks were like so smooth. And we sat in this water, and it had been a long hike already. And when I got out of that water, it was really cold water. My feet felt like they were frozen and I couldn't feel them anymore. And so I had to then hike back down. And then as I'm hiking back down, it was like one step, two steps, one step. I had to like think about, and I had to watch. And it was kind of getting a little bit hard even for my eyes to watch each step, because I could just barely feel my feet. Because I don't know, with all that walking and then being in that cold water, that was just what happened to the old guy. The boys, they didn't have that problem. I don't know. Circulation was better. But that's what it's like for us too as Christians, though. We got to think where we're walking each step along the way. We have to watch every step that we don't get off track. And I think that's what this is telling us here in our walk as Christians. It says, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So again, stay on course, stay on track. So we gotta remember that as we're running for the Lord. We had three periods here, three periods here, and I think I don't know what song we're gonna close with, but I want to invite the worship team to come on up. One potential song we were talking about that I don't think is the one we're gonna do, but you might surprise me, is a kid's song. You remember that song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. That was what this reminded me of as I was thinking about it. But I'm going to pray now. Brett, would you close us in prayer at the end, after the song? But I just want to pray now. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom. I pray that this is an encouragement to us, that we would be more equipped to stay on track and on path, that you would really meet us and help us with the things that we're struggling with, and help us to just shine your light in this world that really needs it. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.